happy Monday, everybody. I'm Ann Vandersteel, and welcome to the Zelenko Report, where truth and God are taking down the tyranny of our time. Yes, this is not my normal studio. I am live in Boulder, Colorado, out west here, setting up camp, headed east for the Reawaken tour this weekend. So look forward to seeing us there. Okay, today on the show, it is Martin Luther King Day. My, oh my, what would he be saying about the state of affairs today? I'll wax on that here in a minute. Joining us also at the top of the show, Sargis Sangari, Lieutenant Colonel. That's right. He is the CEO of the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. He also had the pleasure of interviewing our founder, Dr. Zelenko, last year. We'll talk about his experience there. And then the following half of the show, James Patrick, the documentarian of Planet Lockdown, is coming back, bringing forward yet another new documentary on women's health and the effects of these COVID bioweapons. We are live exclusively right now on Brighteon TV with replays this evening on 9 p.m. at Rumble, Cloud Hub, Getter, Red Voice Media, Frank Speech TV, just to name a few. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The Cali Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Cali Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Cali Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with the Cali Key. The Cali Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at CaliKey.com with free shipping.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
For your support of this platform, use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
Well, what is Martin Luther King Day, and would this incredible man be rolling over in his grave at the state of affairs of the great experiment, the greatest experiment, in fact, the United States, America, a country born on the idea that men and women can come here to be free and worship the God of their choosing? Today, we are seeing persecution on top of persecution, debt slavery. We're funding our own gallows, ladies and gentlemen. Martin Luther King, he believed in peace. He believed in true peace. He says it's not merely, you can only get true peace, it's not merely in the absence of tension. He goes on to say, it is in the presence of justice. Well, I got to tell you, Martin Luther King, remembering it today, the Republican Party was about civil rights when Martin Luther King was walking this earth. And he was pushing the fact that we are being oppressed by our Democrat plantation slave masters. Well, where is those Republicans of old today, I ask you? Well, that's right. They've now merged into what's known as the Uniparty, the party that takes money from Big Pharma, the party that does not stand up to defend President Trump over the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax, or the impeachment hoax one or two, or COVID truth about who really created it, where it really came from, where that bioweapon existed, when it was first generated. And you can find all these patents going back into the early 2000s. Who was really behind it? Who was behind J6? et cetera, et cetera, when, of course, J6 happened. And, of course, at the Capitol that day, when they established a vote to certify the election without even a quorum, of a full quorum of our complement of Congress present to certify what is now known to be a very stolen election. That Republican Party has lost its honor. It's lost its integrity. The Republican Party is not of peace and not of transparency and prosperity for all. Martin Luther King, ladies and gentlemen, a big sigh as he rolls over in his grave and looks at the current state of affairs. He was actually working with Republicans to overcome the civil rights violations by the party of the plantation, the Democrat Party. Today, there is no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans, at least the ones we know of that are sitting as demons on Capitol Hill. They've taken money from big pharma, big tech, big banking, and of course, FTX, a money laundering partner extraordinaire, running an operation out of Ukraine to cover the crimes of the same uniparty and ensure their stolen victories. Well, that's my rant on this. Martin Luther King, thank you for everything you tried to do for our country. I know you're sad to see what it has become today, but I do believe the flame of peace is still in there and the flame for justice is still in there. We will rekindle it. We will rekindle it because you, sir, deserve that honor. I want to thank, of course, our sponsor Z Labs for the News Between the Lines. They're the makers of Dr. Zelenko's Z Stack and the Z Detox supplements. Of course, Z Flu. It is flu season right now. It has not left. It's still here, folks. You can use God's natural supplements combined by Dr. Zelenko and the Z products. Go to zstacklife.com. Please use your promo code Foundation. They do help promote and fund this show for you so that you have access to content like this for free. And also, for a great night's sleep or great slippers or great dog beds or great beds, anything, bathrobes, etc., go on over to mypillow.com. Use the same promo code Foundation. Mike Lindell is doing a great job. And now somebody else who's been incredible in the freedom fighting movement, but also put his life on the line, new Dr. Zelenko, Sarge Sangari, Lieutenant Colonel Sarge Sangari, as pictured here in uniform. That's right. He is the CEO of the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement, which he founded on September 11th in 2014 in commemoration of the Americans who were murdered in those terrorist attacks of 9/11. And if you've been watching my 9/11 series, you understand who the terrorists actually really are at this point. He started this organization in recognition of the first responders who actually continue to suffer and die from the health effects rising from those attacks. He is also a 20-year plus veteran of the United States Army Infantry and Special Operations Forces, with multiple combat deployments to Iraq, diplomatic assignments in Kuwait, and several other deployments across the Middle East, Europe, Asia, and Central America. This is an outtake from an interview he conducted a year ago with our founder of the Zelenko Freedom Foundation, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko.
Whether or not these vaccines are worth providing more benefit than risk, I think that's the way to go to answer all the questions. And so I would like to bring up three very So one is called medical necessity, the other is called efficacy, and the other is safety.
Well, Dr. Zelenko enjoyed that episode that he got to spend with Sarge's last year. And it's my honor to bring on Lieutenant Colonel Sarge Sangari here on the Zelenko Report. Sarge, I actually have interviewed you before on Steel Truth on my old show. It's been a hot minute since then. Welcome to the Zelenko Report on this Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Anne, and actually, you probably made my mom happy. She always wanted me to be a doctor, but I chose to be an infantry officer, so be it. Look, on this Martin Luther King holiday, it's very important to know that it was Martin Luther King, Reverend King, who famously said that I have decided that I'm going to battle for my philosophy, and he stated that you ought to believe in something in life, and also believe that that thing so fervently that you're willing to step up with it and fight for it until the end of your days. And I think both Dr. Zelenko and what Martin Luther King have done now, both late, were really trying to get us to a point where we actually actualize that philosophy the way that we are doing today, which is with the foundation, Zelenko Foundation, that has been established a year you're really managing to make it as best as possible to be able to expand this reach. And the same thing we tried to do, I've tried to establish a possibility of a legacy foundation with the Near East and also with United Sunni Appeal to allow us to have an opportunity to expand and broaden what Americans need to be really focused on, which is more we the people than it is, in this case, we the government.
Absolutely. You know, when you look at the men that Martin Luther King was, the man that Dr. Zelenko was, the man that you are and what you're trying to do to honor those that made ultimate sacrifices in saving those who were attacked. And, you know, as I said in my opening to bringing you on the show, 9/11, as we're uncovering and as we're learning, was really a very much of an inside job. It wasn't just a bunch of terrorists flying planes into a building. There was a lot more to it, as the evidence has come forward on a consistent basis by over 30 architects who were looking at, you know, down at the cellular level of what was the materials that were, you know, disintegrated in that building and the way the building fell and so on and so forth. But setting that aside, you know, as a man who is trying to honor those who sacrificed, Dr. Zelenko, you know, suffering from cancer, was working on behalf of the greater good. Martin Luther King, clearly, his mission was just. Do you think that the three of you, had you been able to meet together at some point, would you have been friends, and what might you have discussed?
Well, look, I don't think I'm worthy to be at the table with Dr. Zelenko and Dr. King. But with that said, I think that we would have been able to connect, because at the end of the day, I think both of them, Zelenko and Dr. King, really were trying to put God at the center of all their work. And if you do it, that's your foundation that you're building everything on, then you're able to be able to deal with the tribulations as you move forward. It's never going to be perfect. We don't live in heaven. There's planet Earth, and it has a certain mechanism it runs off of. And you'll have more negatives and positives at the end of the day. But if you are able to establish these type of legacy foundations, it'd be very difficult, especially if it is pointed towards what you have to be to, as Jesus said, to be the light in the darkness, basically, is what you're able to establish these organizational structures that in the future will be much more closer to the core than there would be in anything else, that allows us to be able to give an opportunity for Americans and the next generation to have the freedoms to choose what they would like to be able to maybe expand into. And I don't think today, where we are as a country, as America, under the current leadership, we are able to do that, regardless of the side of the aisle you come from.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the heavy truth that we're facing right now. Americans are having to come to the realization that the infrastructure that they thought was there as their safety net to protect them, they've looked at the government as the good guys. They're recognizing the government in every aspect has been weaponized against us. And as Dr. Zelenko put forth in his book, Dr. Zelenko, How to Decapitate the Serpent, you know, we're having trouble defining really who the serpent is, because I think there's so many heads to this serpent at this point. It's not just the World Economic Forum. Yes, they're probably the pinnacle of it. They're the top, but it's all the different snakes that are, you know, festering around that giant serpent that is attacking all of us, the people that God, you know, gave the freedom to, gives us our rights, and we are seeing them now at this point, I'd say exponentially eroded away from us. At some point, Sargis, we have to ask ourselves, when is enough enough? What are we going to do in order to stop it? And how can the people actually stop what is coming? Because it's coming at us like a freight train.
Well, it's difficult because the system is not structured that way. And look, Dr. Zelenko, in the interview, the first interview you did with him, as I listened to it, really kind of laid it out. Two of the top pieces are really money and also egos. You know, pride is a hell of a thing, and we all have experiences at one time or another. That's the human failings we have, but it's very difficult to get past that. I'll give you an example. I ran here for office in 2020, of course, I ran against a minority whip as a Republican and a Democratic held location. And my main point was to the American people, you got to be able to go in and move your finger from here to here. Literally that's how far you have to move it to vote the current incumbent out. And you have to do it as mass, not worrying about a political party. Well, it didn't happen in 2020. But the reality was, if I had even won in 2020 in November of that year, by January, the opposition party would have already had somebody in the queue to be able to run against me. Before I even sat down to turn on my computer in February, they would have already put money into their coffers in the first quarter filing by March of that year. And then by September of the following year, I would have had to already started collecting signatures of not following year, but this year that I would be in Congress. I would have to start raising money, collecting signatures to get on the ballot in November so that I would, in Illinois, would have a primary the following year. This system is just set up in a way you become cattle through a process for our representatives, and it just does not work. It will not work in the long run. We live in a country where, I escaped the Middle East, where a dictator would die and, their son or daughter or handpicked crony would replace them. It's the same similar issue that we're dealing with today, especially on the Democratic side. I tell my friends who are Democrats that look at them, most of them are old. They stay in, they're never fired. And what happens is they die in office and they get replaced by their family member or a handpicked crony. That's a dictatorship. That is not a republic. That is not democracy. And until we're able to change that as Americans holistically and vote an entire political party out in this case, we'll never get where we are. The Democratic Party, they lost in the Civil War on the battlefield. They transitioned into one of the most sophisticated, most capable insurgency operations, insurgencies that I fought against overseas, and became a capability that basically killed Lincoln, infested the entire Grant's cabinet with corruption. And years later, it is the same philosophy that tried to break the Union that is currently still trying to break up the Union. And until we recognize that and its historical roots, we'll never understand why the current grandchildren of that KKK party are acting as they are within our country.
Wow. You know, again, this is the stark reality of what is really happening right now, Sargis. And, this is the bitter pill that people have to swallow. But as I believe we still have, I'm a daughter of the American Revolution, but not everybody has roots that go back that far. But this country was founded of people who believed in true freedom. And I believe there's many more people that understand that God has given us our rights and our freedom, and that we are meant to be free. And that what we're now witnessing with the tax dollars that have gone out the door, the amount of corruption that we're seeing, I think more and more people are understanding there's no justice. It's a Department of Injustice. Everything is corrupt. I think people are starting to see that. They haven't really wanted to move off center. Let me ask you this, because, Stu Peters put a movie out, Died Suddenly, and it's been seen by millions of people around the world, and every day another headline of somebody else who's dying suddenly, 30, 40, 50 years old from a heart attack. They're all heart attacks. Is that going to be what it takes to finally get people to move off center and engage in their civic duty that they should have been doing all along?
Oh, it's going to get worse. I know the nature of people have fought in war, and you see how people act. And unfortunately, it has to get worse before they move forward. It's just that they're being trained, conditioned to be grounded into what they are. If this country does go south, which it may, unfortunately, it would take almost 4 decades, long after you and me have become fairy dust on this planet, for it to reset itself. And we don't want to get there. Unfortunately, that's what the pattern of how nations expand and retract tells us, that where we might be heading. Look, you could believe in truth, justice, freedom, but if you're not willing to take action towards those issues and you're not willing to actualize them somehow in your life, you'll never get anywhere. At the end of the day, you have to be willing to die for those causes. A lot of people are not willing to do that. They're not willing to put the financial strains on themselves, or they're not willing to put it on their own life to get to a point where they may have an effect. Now, it's almost like trying to save the entire world. It's not an easy task, but you have to be able to actually make it part of your character, your inherent, operations in daily life, for you to be able to have any type of an effects. And I think eventually, if you could get a network that you may have, in this case, network that has people like you and me in it and others, and we can link this network together. That network is much more powerful and can have more effects on the United States than an individual, you know, a representative might be sitting in Congress who's may or may not be willing to vote for what you think is better for the United States.
Right. Well, I think media is going to play a big part in that. That's the new media, because the old guard is dying. I mean, again, not to bring this up again, but every day I see another 20, 30-year-old producer at some major network died of a heart attack. And I hate to say it, but it's almost as if the demons forced the underlings to take the jab, knowing all well what would happen. And they didn't, because I'm still waiting for some of the, you know, the network heads to succumb to the same horrible fate. Not that I want to see people die. I don't mean that. But this is, in fact, what is happening right now. They have pushed this genocide of humanity. And sadly, like you said, you're a veteran of war. You have plenty of experience in the theater out there. You see what it takes to get people to finally act. And as you just said, it has to get a lot worse, which is shocking, frankly, to hear, because I want to ask you about, you know, these concerns at this point. What concerns you the most about what we see happening in the world today? Is it the election theft? Is it the bioweapon that has been launched? Is it the world homicide, as Dr. Zelenko called it, the World Homicide Organization and the United Nations global movement conspiracy to form this one world government? What is it that has you the most alarmed right now?
What it is really how Americans are acting towards the information they're receiving. You know, look, as I've told my kids, you're from the neck up. You're what you see and hear, which drives what you're thinking about. And the second you speak about it and act on it, it defines you. And today, what we see about how Americans are defining themselves, we're coming across more of as a socialist state rather than individuals who believe in what the founders had established for us. Now, it might be because you know, people will say, no, that's your personal opinion. We have a lot of Americans out there who are doing much more than you are, Colonel Singer, to try to, swim against the tide and shift our focus. But the reality in it is that we're still feeding the information in the same old system process. So unless you change how representatives get elected, how senators are get elected, unless you change put term limits out there or change maybe a wider representative of the people, it is very difficult to take these ideas that we have that are good for the nation, put them into the same bureaucracy under U.S. code that needs to completely change, under immigration laws that need to be completely changed, under means and ways of authorities are given to the executive branch and the legislature that need to change for us to be able to move forward. And I think, unfortunately, most Americans have resigned to the belief that it doesn't matter what I do, it's not going to change anything, so I'm not going to act on it. So that's the biggest issue I have, worry I have, that our next generation is expecting for somebody else to clean up the mess, and they're not willing to sacrifice from their own money, time, dollars, to be able to, even possibly, as I've seen soldiers do, their own life, to be able to make a change that globally will allow us to counter what we're seeing from the enemies of the United States.
Well, I'm getting some intel that's coming in from folks over in Europe. People and members of parliament are warning friends here in the United States that we need to be bracing for impact. We saw what happened with the FAA, not only here in this country last week, but also in Canada. We've seen banking problems. We had a 911 outage in Michigan last week as well. They're telling us that was just a test run and that we should be prepared imminently for a major cyber attack. We've got a couple minutes left in this segment. I want to get you more information from you on this. I'd like if you could stick around for a few minutes into the next segment before our next guest gets here. But should we be imminently concerned about a major cyber attack coming out of who knows where?
We should be very much. And it's a reality. We're just not set up and ready to be able to counter any type of cyber attack against our systems. Goes back to the bureaucrats not doing anything about fixing their original issues and looking forward as to how to counter future technologies.
Well, we've had, Vincent Pry has been on my show many times warning of EMP threats and other threats, and it looks like it's really here. And again, I just drove across the country. I can tell you unequivocally, there is plenty of refineries that are wide open. You could drive by with a .50 caliber and, you know, start setting fires in oil refineries. It would be super easy to do as you're doing 60 miles an hour on an interstate. This is not, we are wide open. And the fact that something hasn't happened here since 9/11 of that magnitude, frankly, is shocking. So it's almost like, it feels like we're way overdue. You know, Sardis, if that happens, are we going to survive something like this?
Depends. A lot of people won't. I hate to say it. It's just the reality of the American character. And today, given the fact that where we are as a nation, we're not, hey, look, the Americans were telling the Ukrainians, you're about to be invaded. Ukrainians were sitting in bars just hours before the invasion. They never believed that it's coming. And Americans today still are refusing to believe that the reality might come one day and punch them in the face. You need to be prepared. You don't have to have your life living on the edge as like everything's going to collapse, but you have to be cognitive of the fact that this nation has enemies, and those enemies need to replace it. And the way to do it is internally, externally, to putting the pressures on it as possible, using the technologies that everybody has to their disposal to take down America. And they're all willing to do it. Most of them are sitting in South America with the capabilities. Even the Iranians have drone capabilities out of Venezuela that can conduct EMP attacks against us. Now imagine what China and Russia could do.
Right. All right, Sarge, just stick around for a few more minutes. I'd like to continue this really quickly. I have one more question for you before I let you go. We have a break. We'll be right back with more from Colonel Sarge Sangari.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com. Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Dr. Janice Schmidt, I want to encourage you, America, to watch Brighteon TV. It's amazing, and it is a place for truth and freedom. Amen.
I'm Scott Gallagher, and I love watching Brighteon TV. Come join us.
You've got to be watching Brighteon TV. This is so important. We are the news.
And Welcome back to the second half of the Zelenko Report. I'm Ann Vanderstiel. I've been sitting here speaking with Colonel Sargis Sangari of the, he's a 20-year-plus veteran, by the way, of the United States Army Infantry and Special Operations Forces with multiple combat deployments. But we were just before the break talking about the, you know, this perilous situation in which we find ourselves, particularly today on this Martin Luther King Day, when we should be celebrating peace and prosperity. We find ourselves in a very precarious position, and warnings coming out of Europe, frankly, from around the world, about the impending cyber attack that is looming over this country. I want to bring Sargis back in. Sargis, when we last left, we're talking about the very serious nature and this desperate situation we find ourselves in as a country, particularly with this regime in power at the moment. We've witnessed untold thousands and thousands of fighting age males of Middle Eastern descent pouring across our border, 2,000 known terrorists on terrorist watch lists that have come across our border. We've had multiple people warn us about cyber attacks, EMP threats, suitcase nuclear weapons. You're a counterintelligence specialist as well. I mean, you've been in the theater of war on multiple fronts. Yeah. How can Americans be prepared? And are we seriously at a point right now where we are going to probably be facing something like this?
Oh, look, you're going to be facing it. It's a matter of the enemy has a right as to when he decides to use that capability inside your country. And they've used it in the past, and they will use it in the future. It's much more possible that they could use it in the future, given the fact that we have really given up on securing our borders, allowing anybody to come in. Look, the drug cartel does run a major business here. I was speaking to the Republicans here in Illinois who recently, again, lost major seats in the midterm elections. And I asked them a blunt question. I said, who do you think is running the ballots for the Democratic Party on the west side of Chicago? And they couldn't answer. And I said, it's the gangs. It's very simple. I'm not going to prosecute you, but you know, even if I have to pass what is a safety act to make sure that you're not going to spend time in prison, but you're going to have to run ballots for me. So until you can basically get a hold of corruption in this country and hold people accountable at the highest levels, you're going to have problems. And look at where our country is today. When you have the current POTUS, who has basically security materials all over his house and personal residence, United States just does not seem to be in a position where it's actually taken seriously by any nation out there. And once you give the enemy the possibility that, you know what, there's a window here for you to conduct attack, it is very likely for them to either utilize those internally or maybe be able to do what they want externally, in this case, as of China is possibly eyeing possible invasion of Taiwan sometime before the current administration basically leaves stage. So it's very likely it can happen at any given time, but when it happens, it will be at the choosing of the enemy, unfortunately, not ours. In the past, we used to be able to dictate that an enemy couldn't go to sleep without worrying about whether or not they're going to be killed or not. And every day, every night, they would have to be sleeping in a different bed. You know, I fought against insurgencies. I even ran an insurgency myself when the Syrian army was fighting against ISIS and ISIL in 2014 to 2017. It is very easy to run them. It is very easy to train them. It's very difficult for the other side to be ready. Keep in mind that they only have to be successful once. We have to make sure we prevent them from being able to conduct those attacks for the next 100 years.
You're absolutely right, Sargis. This is unfortunately the reality in which we live in. We've had our own government been weaponized against the American people. They've helped manufacture and deploy a bioweapon. I don't care what anybody else says. I still put the blame at the United States government, namely public enemy number one, Anthony Fauci, who has lied over repeatedly, and he's done all this at the cost of millions of lives, not only around the world, essentially. And those lives are still stacking up today since they've injected billions of people with a bioweapon. The war continues. It's unrestricted, and it's happening on many fronts. And I'm so glad that you are here with us today Sargis. I really appreciate your time. I'm looking forward to joining you on your show. Folks can find your work. You have a wonderful website, by the way, at NECSE.net, NECSE.net. That's the Near East Center for Strategic Engagement. So appreciate you coming by. Sargis, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you later. We have up next, by the way, James Patrick is joining us again. We had him on last week. We had some technical difficulties, so we wanted to bring him back on. He's the documentarian of Planet Lockdown, has a new movie coming out specifically around women's health. Going to run this trailer, and then we'll bring him right in.
I get vaccinated last year, and then I had menstrual trouble, a lot of bleeding. And when I was talking with my doctor, she doesn't see what I mean. I had no answer. She was just not listening. When I started the Instagram account, a lot of testimonies came. Instagram account went to be bigger and bigger. It was very quick. And I had, 4,000 and a half testimonies in 4 months. And then I went to the French Senate with my lawyer, Diane Prota.
We have put into light the problem that suffered lots of women. This is something that is natural. When you have a contract, you are liable for what you sell. In this contract that we have with the European Union, well, this liability doesn't exist. As a European citizen, we have a right to transparency. What we are facing today in France is the assumption by our government and by our national health agencies that these products work. We know it's a lie.
At first, you are afraid because your body is not working. And so you're saying, what is happening? What is wrong with me? Miscarriage, adenomia, early menopause, endometriosis, amenorrhea, menorrhagia. A lot are bleeding all the time, but a lot are not bleeding at all.
The doctors say, oh, well, your period will not come back. You are menopause. When women develop heavy bleedings after the vaccination, they give to them this medication, Exacil, but it doesn't work anymore. And the only solution that the doctors give them is to go for hysterectomy. We have to break this silent wall. We have to stop this. We have to find a solution. We have to know what is happening to the women.
I have two young daughters, and I don't want to let them in that kind of world.
So if they can't have baby anymore, what are we gonna do?
Coming back to the Zelenko Report for another effort, shall we say. James Patrick, the documentary who also brought you Planet Lockdown, is also working on this film right now. Where is my period? James, it's great to have you on again. I know this time it's not the most optimal conditions for you, but wanted to make sure we got this information out because, again, as information is breaking about the bioweapon taking lives all over the place, it's just headline after headline. I think people need to understand the genocide and what it means to the future of humanity. So thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So this film you're bringing forth is about, of course, the impact of the bioweapon, thanks to Fauci and his demons, and of course, everybody pushing it at the World Economic Forum, which is meeting in Davos right now. This is going to have a deleterious impact on procreation. God's children are essentially being snuffed by this bioweapon.
Yeah, I mean, the two main promoters of the COVID-19 vaccination program, the World Health Organization that did the main distribution for these shots globally, has a long history of interest in fertility regulating vaccines. And in the early 1970s, they developed, you know, what they called FRVs, fertility regulating vaccines, that would basically take a tetanus toxoid and bind it with HCG, beta HCG, which is the main hormone used and prevalent in female pregnancy. And so that would create an autoimmune response against tetanus and the woman's own fertility or pregnancy hormones. So there's that first generation of sterility vaccines is in the public research literature. but potential subsequent generations are private. They're not publicly disclosed. But it was six countries where the WHO was accused of deploying these surreptitiously. And in Kenya in 2014, they were basically caught red-handed when some doctors at the Kenyan Catholic Church raised a fuss and tested some vials. And half of them were coming up positive. So, and then Gates also has had a big interest in the lower population. He was the biggest funder. Serum Institute produced a billion in COVID-19 vaccines, or over a billion, and they produced these Kenya shots. So I just, with all that background information, seeing now women having a lot of fertility issues, high miscarriage rates, lower fertility rates, and women, this was a French group I found, of women having all kinds of hemorrhaging, all manner of really fertility problems. It just raised a lot of suspicion for me, and I thought there was a bigger story here.
I mean, this is genocide against God's children. This is the changing of your DNA by using mRNA technology to gene splice and make you no longer human, per se. This is not the this is not the creation of our creator. This is the creation of, Bill Gates, the demons over at the World Economic Forum, Pierre Bright, Wellcome Institute. All of these people have come together, and they've been doing this for some time, and they've lied to everybody. You know, James, one of the things I'm curious, because we're now starting to understand just how evil the government has been, not only ours, but everybody conspiring around the world. But it's being led by a bunch of people out of the World Economic Forum and the WHO, who met last week. This week you have the World Economic Forum flying in on their jets while they want us to choke on electric cars. At some point, are you starting to get a sense that people around the world are getting this, that they understand that we are being controlled by people who are out of control?
Yeah, I think, but there's also a distinction between getting it and doing something about it. I think a lot of people wake up, but then they still sit on their hands and they don't act, they don't stand up. So really what we need people to do is get it and do something about it and push back on it. But yeah, I do think increasingly a lot of people who did get it during the thick of the COVID thing, but were too timid to tell anybody, now are willing to express that publicly. Yeah. But I think more and more we need to not just, you know, go run away in the woods and buy food, but like also fight for this world and don't give up this world and have good people go into government and good people, you know, make a difference and fight this.
Right. Well, you are one of those people who is definitely trying to wake people up and also help people make a difference. And one of the things that you've just launched is the Nitrogen 2000, the Dutch Farmer's Struggle. Done some reporting on that. Michael Jan, a friend of mine and also of this show and previous shows I've done, he's been all over the place, all over the world traveling. He's done a great job of documenting what's going on with the war on food, essentially, the famine that's incoming. And we have a pandemic, famine, and war. Those are the three musketeers, as he calls them. It's the trilogy of death. So you've been over in Holland, and you've spoken to and interviewed a lot of the Dutch farmers. What is the consensus over there right now?
Well, it's kind of a complicated story because there's a few things going on, but I guess the two main pillars of the operation look like, one is to take out a big piece of the existing food system. So the Dutch farmers are the most efficient farmers in the world. And they produce a lot of Europe's food. So by kneecapping them and removing about probably 50 to 70% of their output is what appears to be one part of this. And then, so it's kind of like if you want to restructure the food system and feed us insect kibble or whatever the hell's up their sleeve, then they got to kneecap the existing food production system. And it looks like this is a blow to the food production system. And the second part of this scheme seems to be to nationalize a third of the Dutch land. So they're 70% of Holland's owned by cattle farmers. They're basically saying that we want to buy half of your land out, half of them out, and still the other half still heavily regulate at least half of them, the remaining ones. And on this spurious environmental claim of that nitrogen is pollution, when nitrogen is just 80% of the air and it's the basic ingredient fertilizer. It's plant food.
You know what I find extraordinary is that if when you sit here and listen to you talk about this, that anybody in the Netherlands, frankly, would buy into the fact that nitrogen is toxic to humanity when it makes up most of the atmosphere. It's the air that we breathe, right?
Crazy,
I mean,
I'm
a nitrous oxide. I mean, they use nitrous oxide when they want to, you know, get you a little silly sometimes for teeth. And then also, you know, I also use nitrous when I'm diving, when I scuba dive. You know, I breathe this stuff so I can go deeper and stay down longer and not get the bends.
It's a crazy thing, but it's going to come everywhere. I mean, that's why I really jumped on the story, because it's, I see a lot of land counties around the country starting to buy up the land. And I think this kind of, what conservatives would kind of call communism, it's the nationalization of land.
Right.
But it's really these oligarchs behind the state that are controlling the state, using the state to control us when they couldn't on the free market. On the free market, they'd have to outlay the cost of all the goons and the thieves to take all our stuff. But then they create this system where the government does it, and then they control the government. So it's sort of outside this right-left paradigm a bit, and it's sort of, you got to kind of stretch your mind a bit.
Yeah, well, you know, I think one of the things that we've learned, too, here in the United States is, you know, they've used a lot of really nice, innocuous-sounding language. This whole public-private partnership, when, you know, to the layperson, it sounds like, oh, the government's going to come in and help, and they're going to maybe fund and whatever. Well, yeah, they funded the genocide through hospitals by giving them all this PPP money and paying them a lot of money to put people on remdesivir and ventilators and just basically killing them. Sadly, our hospitals today are still doing it, which is shocking considering how much information's out there at this point. But is that same sort of innocuous sounding language still being swallowed by people over in the Netherlands based on what you've learned?
Yeah, I mean, they're saying, okay, in the name of biodiversity, we need to favor 10 or 15 plants out of 150 common plants of Holland. And those happen to be ones that are really little, that don't need a lot of nitrogen. So they're kind of just arbitrarily selecting 10 or 15 plants, saying, oh, in the name of biodiversity, we want to protect these. And so they're using these mealy-mouth kind of goody-goody language, but it's ridiculous. I mean, if you let nature rewild and you just let nitrogen be around or whatever, you'd have a forest grow back. And what's the matter with that? I mean, if you want to be consistent, I mean... So they're not even saying they want nature to rewild. They're saying they want to garden and promote the growth of these little orchids at the expense of the nettles. I mean, it's and therefore we need to bankrupt the Dutch farmer. So the argument is so spurious and ridiculous that I just show there in the film. I show their promo videos, these little cartoon animations they made, and I like rewind them and repeat them because I mean, it's so ridiculous what their argument, that even when I tell people, their eyes glaze over. I mean, it's.
Well, you know, but again, this is the same nonsense that's coming. It's happening over there. It's happening over here. And it's all being fostered and developed and pushed and funded by the people at the World Economic Forum. I mean, most recently, the White House just published their Declaration of North America. And it's, you know, acronymally spells DNA, which is, you know, they're just laughing at us right now. They published this on January 10th, right? The Declaration of North America. Where you have Obrador out of Mexico, Biden and Trudeau meeting in Mexico City to talk about diversity, equity, inclusion, climate change and the environment, competitiveness, and of course, the migration and development. But all of these things, the language sounds great, James, but at the end of the day, it's working against everybody involved, including the people that are being immigrated illegally here. They're being used as human slaves and pawns, and they're being put into forced labor camps, child sex trafficking, or they're raped and murdered on the other side of the border and left to die in the desert. You know, this is insanity.
I'm from D.C., and so, I'd always see the World Bank, IMF people in the development sector would always use all these ridiculous sounding acronyms and phrases. They call it in the World Bank, they call it, do you speak bankies? And it's just this gibberish, you know, of equity, you know. But yeah, that thing you're talking about sounds a lot like that North American Union program years ago. I guess I jumped on this topic because also I think these false environmental claims to take our freedoms is going to be the basis of the future social credit score if they get their way. They're going to say your carbon is too high, your nitrogen is too high, you know, you're not allowed to drive, buy this food. And now we see the credit card companies sort of break down your consumption into these charts of transportation, food, groceries. And that's sort of the transition into this scheme. So we should really push back against this and first just see it for what it is.
Yeah. Where can folks find your work? Where can they go and support? Because these documentaries do take time, they take money, and it's about getting the truth out in a format that people can digest and get behind and actually make change. Where can they go and support you?
My website is bigpicture.watch, and people, please donate to each individual project. You can also propose your own project, and then it'll become crowdfunded there. So I've kind of opened it up with a new model of sort of crowdfunded film journalism.
Fantastic. James Patrick, thank you for your continued service to humanity. Planet Lockdown was an eye-opener, and these next two documentaries are going to be equally compelling. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right. Well, folks, as you can see, this show, I know Monday sounds like a little bit of a downer today, but at the end of the day, we need to be fully engaged in what is happening, and we need to be motivated to actually do something about it. So the Zelenko Freedom Foundation is doing things, and we're providing information and plans and calls to action. We have a gala coming up, and it's an all-day event, actually, with four panels now. We've added a fourth panel. This is going to be an event not to miss. It's going to be this Saturday, March 11th, this coming quarter, Saturday, March 11th, at the Trump Doral in Miami. Tickets are currently on sale, and yes, they are going quickly. People are excited about this, so please join us. And you will not leave empty-handed. You will leave with a plan. That is the whole idea, the Zelenko Solutions Summit. It's about planning. Okay, that will be at Trump Doral on March 11th. Tomorrow we have Payman Madhede from the American Free Law, joining us. He is going to be talking about how to set yourself free from IRS, something that nobody wants to pay. Nobody wants to see that tax math cometh on April 15th. And wouldn't you know, it's all wholly unconstitutional, and there is no legal need for free people to pay income taxes. You're going to hear about that and more on tomorrow's Zelenko Report. So enjoy yourselves the rest of the evening, and we'll see you again back here 1 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the Zelenko Report. Thank you, Heather. I'm going to...